Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Thompson from Rio Grande Cable Access. The following program is pre-recorded, and we're showing it again. It is the interview with Ray McInnes, and we're showing it again at this time in remembrance of Ray McInnes, because he was a good community leader and a good friend of Rio Grande.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of The Voice of Rio Grande. It's a great day in Rio Grande today. It's beautiful here. Fall has started. It's really in the air, and I can't think of a better time to have the guests that we are welcome or are very fortunate to have today, and that is Mr. Ray McInnes. And Ray is here to talk to us today about a lot of things, but most importantly on our minds, because this is coming up in a couple of days,
yeah,
is the Bob Evans Farm Festival. And we are really looking forward to it. I understand that that we're coming up on this is our 45th year. But before we get into that a little bit,
sure.
Ray, I wanted to take a minute and share with our viewers and our listeners just what a great impact you've had on my life in the last year. It's just been great to meet you. When I came to this area to learn more about the people here, mm-hmm, and this great institution, you were one of the first people I met. I actually had a breakfast in the restaurant here at the Bob Evans restaurant, and you were so kind and came over and talked to me, and I really appreciated it. It made an impression on me, and it's the people here that drew me here and I think keep people here. So thank you for that. And I feel like I'm just in such the shadow of greatness, too, because during this last year, you have done, I've seen you receive some great awards and really be honored for everything you bring to the community, and it's been nice to see. I know we were at the Gallia County Chamber event, I guess that was back in the spring, and you were honored with the Bud and Donna McGee Service Award.
Yes.
And that was really a special moment.
It was special. Bud and Donna McGee were two great people in our community who did a lot for our community, and we were very pleased to be able to honor them, mm-hmm, by naming this award for them. You know, they named me to that award this year, and when I look back and look at the people who have won that award in the past, boy, I tell you, I just don't know that I even fit in the category with those people, because there are so many people who have done so many great things for our community. And they are it's just really quite an honor for me to have been named to that award.
I can understand. Yeah, you would say that because you're very humble. But you were also, I watched you in the 4th of July parade in Gallipolis as the Grand Marshal. So I just feel like I'm with this a VIP.
Well, now what you have to understand is there's a funny story behind that Grand Marshal thing.
Okay.
When I was the president of the chamber, and I was also a couple times been the head of the River Recreational Festival,
mm-hmm,
and during those festivals, we always had a hard time finding the Grand Marshal for the parade. We'd ask media people to be the Grand Marshal, and we'd ask different people to be the Grand Marshal. We always had a hard time finding that. So one year, as I was the chairman of the River Rec Festival, I said, okay, here's what we'll do. The person that receives the Bud and Donna McGee Award automatically becomes the Grand Marshal of the parade. Not thinking that I would ever be that person. So there it was. When I got the award in January, then I knew I was going to be a Grand Marshal of the parade.
That was your own devices, right?
Yep.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the festival. It's coming up in just a couple of days. I experienced my first one last year,
mm-hmm,
and I just look forward to experiencing some of the new things. But because you just cannot take it all in one year,
mm-hmm,
but you've been with Bob Evans now with the company for 35 years?
Correct.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about what we can expect at the festival this year.
We are really looking forward to the festival. Everything's come together very good, and the team we have working on it, setting it up and organizing it is a team that's got a lot of experience,
mm-hmm,
and making the festival that it is and it should be. We'll have new entertainers this year. As a matter of fact, we've probably got one of the biggest entertainers in bluegrass music coming on Saturday evening, and Ricky Skaggs will be at the farm up the holler on Saturday night. He'll be up there, and it's admission fees $10 for that. And so come and get your tickets and go to the concert. It's going to be a great evening of entertainment. Then on Sunday afternoon, we have the number one bluegrass singer, female, in Rhonda Vincent will be here Sunday afternoon about 3 o'clock. And that's just the price of admission to come to the festival. So for $5, you get into the festival and you get to see Rhonda Vincent. And
wow.
There's a tremendous entertainers. We have a lot of different crafters this year that come in. We've added a different deal this year that we've never done before. We're having pig races.
Mm.
We have pig races, and they're going to bring some lambs and some goats and some ducks and some geese to race around this little track they have. And it's really fun. The guy that does it is quite an entertainer, and it's quite fun to watch him do it. We've enjoyed having him here.
I can't wait.
Watching him do it before.
That will be really unique.
Yes, it is. Very unique for our area.
I can't wait to experience that. And that's one of the things I noticed about the festival last year, is that there's just so much to offer different people. I mean, there's something for everyone. Of course, the food, that goes without saying. I've been thinking about many of the items for a year now, just waiting. So,
well, you know what we try to do is we try to bring this festival, bring items to the festival that people don't get to see every day. Like, for example, there'll be horseshoeing. Now, people don't get to see people horseshoe a horse very often.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get to see them shear a lamb, and we have that. We don't get to see them milk a cow, and we have that available for people to see. So it's kind of neat to see people do those kinds of things that they don't really get to see. And we have candle making, we have soap making, we have a blacksmith. I mean, just stuff that people don't get to see every day. Leathersmith.
Yeah.
And just stuff that, you know, our kids never saw.
Right.
You know, I got to sit a little bit up with my grandparents, and some people got to see that in that part of their life.
Right.
And overall, they don't get to see that kind of stuff.
That's neat, and I think that that experience for people, it just opens eyes to see what's there. I know it kind of takes me back to the day I grew up on we had a small family farm, and my grandfather had a little bit larger farm, but just thinking about the days of shearing sheep, I remember those days so vividly. But my children didn't get that same experience of watching that, helping with that, bagging the wool, all of those things, and it's just a really neat experience. So I'm glad we have that.
And the good thing is the people who do that, we have a narrator who tells what's going on and talks a little bit about it. And Hank Forties does the sheep, and he's the narrator, and he doesn't actually physically do the sheep anymore, but he's been with the festival every year for 45 years.
Wow.
Hank Forty has been.
That's really neat. Well, can you tell me a little bit about the history of it's 45 years of history, but can you tell me a little bit about how this got started or kind of highlights?
Sure. This festival was an idea of a former governor of the state of Ohio, James Rhodes.
Okay.
He and Bob Evans were good friends, and he told Bob one time, he said, you need to have a festival here on the farm. And so Bob decided that that was a good idea, and the company bought into the idea, and we've had a festival here ever since.
Okay.
So, and basically it was started to thank our supplier, our people who came supplied us with product at the restaurants, and people who were in the grocery stores, the meat managers, and those are the kind of people who the festival was set up for originally. And we brought those folks to the farm and treated them, and as years went on, it just kept growing and growing and to where it is today.
Mm-hmm. That's really neat. So I'm sure over the years you've had some really memorable experiences, those things that just kind of stick out for one reason or another. Can you tell me a couple of those?
Yeah, I can. And you know what? Every single one of the things I've been thinking about, well, not every one, but a lot of them, have to do with weather, because it seems like the weather changes around that weekend every year. Either it's warm and then it gets colder, or sometimes it's colder and it warms up a little bit maybe, but not so much. Not so many times that happens. Usually it's colder, the opposite. But we've had years where, I remember one year, it got so cold that the the lines we had servicing the Coca-Cola machines froze solid.
Mm.
And we had to pour hot water. We had to run hot water out of coffee machines and pour on the Coca-Cola lines to thaw those out so we could serve product.
Wow.
I remember that. And my first festival experience was, actually I was a student here at the University of Rio Grande, and I worked as a parking cars for a fraternity, Alpha Sigma Phi, and I think it was the year after I graduated, maybe 2 years after I graduated, it'd been 78, it rained so hard that year that we pushed cars out of that parking lot all weekend long, pushed them in the parking lot all weekend long, and there was a guy who brought a camper in there. This camper was, in 78, a Bluebird was a big camper.
Okay.
And there was a lot of people who had this camper, and it had 10-day tags on it, 30-day tags on it, you know, so it was pretty new, and we're trying to get him out of there. And I said, I don't know where to hook onto this thing because, you know, it's brand new. I don't want to damage it in any fashion. He said, just hook it on right here in this area. And you do it like this. And so I said, okay. So I said, but how do you know that's out of work? He said, that's the way they hooked when they pulled me in here. I'm thinking,
oh, God.
You've got a $300,000 camper and we're pulling you in and now we're pulling you out. You know, I don't understand that.
That's funny.
Another year we had, when did Sarah Palin run for president? Ran for vice president with McCain? That was a couple, 8 years ago.
Yes.
She was in Gallia County at the time, and it was quite a funny little thing because we had a Del McCurry coming to play at the festival, and everybody thought that Sarah Palin was going to come to the festival because she was in Gallia County at the time, so. Somebody saw her at Walmart, and they thought they saw her bus coming out our way, and people kept coming to the festival. They just kept coming and coming and coming, and we had one of the biggest Sunday crowds we'd ever had because people wanted to see Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
And they get there, and they kept asking us, is she coming? Well, we knew she wasn't coming because we had contacted the information that said that she was on her way to Marietta. So we knew she wasn't coming, but we weren't telling anybody because we were afraid they might leave.
Right.
So they're all coming to the festival. And this big bus come in, and it was the Del McCurry band.
Mm.
So they come rolling in, and he came up 325 and 141 out of Huntington, the back road, the curvy old road.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got there, people just flocked to the bus.
Wow.
It was a big red bus, and people just flocked up to it. Then they said, is this her? And I said, no, this is the band. This is the band. Oh, it's got to be her. It's got to be her. Well, obviously it wasn't.
Right.
And the bus driver got off. And I said, why did you guys come this back way? He said, well, because that's the way that the GPS told us to come, was come up the back road.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the people got to see us because they're all waving at us. I said, well, they all thought you were Sarah Palin.
So, sorry to disappoint,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I disappointed everybody, but those were pretty funny experiences.
That's really neat. And you know what? I've also watched and participated in a lot of the other events you guys have had going on. And you're able to really just build, from a tourism standpoint, just so many things that bring people with different passions and different interests together. Those have been really great. Can you tell me a little bit about those other kinds of events?
We've tried to do different things to bring different people, to the farm and different activities. For example, we have in our museum, which is the history of the company and the history of Bob and Jewel and when they lived in the homestead house. Upstairs in that room, upstairs in that building, there are two rooms that we have available that we do different exhibits in.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, we did the Wizard of Oz exhibit, and people ask us, "Why are you doing the Wizard of Oz?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because we want to bring people into the farm that had never been there before. And we did. We brought a lot of different people in who had never been to the farm before, never been to that restaurant there, but wanted to see the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
So they came and looked at it, and we thought that was a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a car show there now that we started this past year. We had one years ago, and it was a really good car show, and it just got old, and so it went away.
Mm-hmm.
We brought it back this year, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have Emancipation Celebration, which we had a few weeks ago at the farm, celebrating the Abraham Lincoln's signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. We had the 152nd anniversary of that celebration.
Wow.
Farm this year.
That's impressive.
It's really, yeah, when you think about a group of people who put something together all this time,
yeah,
that really helped. That makes a big statement for Gallatin
yeah.
County especially.
And you had Jackie
Joyner-Kersey
was there.
Jackie Joyner-Kersey was there. She had a great crowd in there.
Yeah.
And we're in the middle of planning for next year. So we really don't know what we're going to do next year, but it'll be equally as fine.
I bet it will. One of the things that I think I'm messing our technology up here, but other kinds of things that I know our listeners like to hear about is about your family and about just kind of, and I know you have a great family. I've met Terry and I've met your three sons.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell me a little bit about your family?
Sure, I can. I have my wife, Terry. We've been married for, I have to think this out now. I should have thought through this probably.
You'll be in trouble later.
I'm in trouble. So we've been married 39 years in December.
Wow.
We have three sons. Heath is our oldest, Justin and Travis. And Heath and Travis both graduated from Iran.
Okay.
Justin attended here for a couple of semesters, but he ended up graduating from Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Heath is a school teacher, and his wife, Melissa, graduated from Iran. She's a school teacher. Heath's in Oak Hill. Melissa's in Wellston.
Okay.
Justin is working for the Glimcher Properties.
Okay.
And his wife is a teacher in a daycare center in Columbus. She's administrator in a daycare center in Columbus.
Okay.
And Travis works for State Farm, and his wife is a teacher in Wellston as well.
Okay. Well, it's a wonderful family, and I know they're real supportive of what you do, and just kind of all in, right?
Yeah, they
have to be.
Yeah, when I took this job with Bob Evans, they said we're in too.
Yeah,
they're there. So
that's right.
They've been a part of it. They've all worked here once. I mean, every single one. My wife, the boys have all done something here at the farm
okay.
to help us make this thing successful.
That's what it takes. It really takes everyone, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
And I know that our campus community. One of the things that I was really excited to learn about when I heard about the festival. And I wondered how, as a campus, we're involved and we partner with you guys. And we take a service day on our campus on Friday so that we have no classes, and we encourage and expect
mm-hmm.
that our campus community is going to be involved and help. And I think that's been a really good partnership.
Well, it has been. It has been a great partnership. Since the festival started back in 71, This university has been a part of the festival.
Mm.
I mean, our group, the fraternity I belong with, we started in 72 parking cars.
Wow.
So, you know, we've all been involved in it all this time,
mm-hmm.
parking, doing something with the festival.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, it was kind of a tricky little situation because some of the professors were given tests on Friday of the festival and given mandatory requirements to be in class on Friday the festival, and it was kind of a tough thing because these students are trying to raise money for their organizations or in some cases they're just working for where we hired them individually to work.
Right, right.
And they couldn't fulfill their responsibilities because they had to be in class. Then the next year after that happened, a couple of years, we talked to the president at the time, and he instituted a service day.
That's good.
Well.
And that's stayed around. I'm really glad that it has.
It helps us a lot.
And we do a lot of things on campus during the week, this week, leading up to Farm Fest, just things that we do with our students. They're very active, and they have a lot of activities going on. And I think there's just a spirit in the air this week and every week this time of year as we all prepare for that. So we really, really do look forward to being a partner and continuing to be a partner and thinking about new ways that we can help, because I've seen that the festival just, from what I can tell, it changes, it evolves. There are those things that are constant. But like you said, the musicians that are coming, wow, that you're able to attract and you know, get that kind of talent here.
Exactly right.
That's really very exciting.
The big thing that helped us a lot was in 2011 when we changed the whole festival grounds.
Mm.
We changed the whole, that was before you got here. We went through and leveled everything out and took the hills and the valleys out and made it all real level and easy for people to get around. And we did that in 2011, and that really changed the the complexion of the whole festival. It made it gave us a different feel for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We went with a different style of tents, and it made it easier for people to get around in. And that whole, if somebody hasn't been to the festival for several years,
mm-hmm.
this
like
is
a new festival.
Oh, it's like a new festival ground.
That's really neat. I didn't realize that. So that's always thinking about improvement.
That's exactly right.
So you know the festival. It attracts so many people from far and wide, and I bet that's something that you've enjoyed over the years, just kind of meeting people that are coming from, well, there's those people probably that are faithful and come every
mm-hmm.
year, and then you have people that have come from all kind of walks of life and all places.
We meet people from all over the place. As a matter of fact, I had a friend of mine who lives in Orlando. She said a guy who works for her and her husband and has parents live in Logan,
mm-hmm.
Ohio, and she told me, so and so's parents live in Logan, they're coming to the festival. I said, well, come look me up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they looked me up, and we've become friends.
Oh, that's great.
And we get all kinds, there's a lot of people who keep coming to the festival year after year, and they look us up, and they say, how you doing? And,
yeah.
Of course, the crafters are all like that, but the guests are, we see a lot of guests are like that as well.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Well, tell me, because I experienced the food, and I think that I'm very anxious to do that again this year, but what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite item that you always look forward to at the festival? Or?
Yes, I think so. I really look forward to the Smoky Boy sandwich.
Ah,
I like
okay.
that sandwich. I only eat it once a year. I eat it on Sunday morning, and that's biscuits and gravy.
Mm.
I eat it once a year, and I eat it at Farm Festival on Sunday morning.
Yeah,
but I don't
that's
know why
a tradition.
It's just a tradition thing I've always done.
Well, I couldn't pick because the apple dumplings were awesome.
People like those.
I stood in line and would for hours for the kettle corn.
Yes.
I mean, just, you know, I can go down the list.